In your bulletin today, you should have a little yellow sheet that I put in there. And I've been doing this just for this month, kind of printed out the messages so you can kind of follow along. On the one side, it says our mission policy, and for some, maybe there may be new in the church or a little unfamiliar with this, I put in there our official policy on missions. You know, our church is a strong supporter of getting the gospel out at home, but also around the world. We love folks to hear about Jesus. And it kind of tells you how we go about that, how the monies are dispensed. And we talk about getting the money, but here's how it goes out and what it's for. And anything that we give to missions is used specifically and only for missions at our church. So you can rest assured with that. We don't use it for other projects. For like the floor or whatever, none of that type of thing, for just our business type expenses, you know, that we have to keep for the church to go on, utilities and salaries, so forth. None of that goes to that. It all goes around the world, and maybe like for our missions conference to bring the missionaries in, that type of thing, you understand. But it kind of tells you there. Then on the other side is the lesson for today, if you want to call it a lesson. And I trust today's message is educational, but also inspirational. I preach this message unashamedly. You know, we don't like to talk about money. God has blessed our church financially, and we have always had enough money to take care of our needs. But when we talk about missions and finances and giving, it's really about not only just doing it for ourselves here, but getting the gospel around the world. And sadly, there's a lot of churches that don't make that a priority in their church life. We do here. We want to see people saved and come to know Christ as their Savior here at our home base in Boonesboro, and again, like Sharpsburg and Keedysville and Smithburg and on up. We've got folks from Pennsylvania, some folks from West Virginia, Hagerstown, some come over the mountain and so forth. But we want to have the gospel given out here, which we do, and we do that through various means of the bus ministry, our visitation program. We had good news clubs. They just ended. And I want to, again, thank the folks who were in our good news clubs. If you helped in a good news club this year, and that's where we go in every week into the public schools at Sharpsburg and then over at Pleasant Valley. If you helped any time this year, would you stand if you were able to help? We got just a few. All right. So let's give them a good hand. Thank you, folks. And we appreciate it. We're in, like, two public schools, and that's every week, pretty much through, I think, October through March. And they give a Bible lesson and able to teach, and we appreciate the schools allowing us to come in. Now, it's after school now, and it's a voluntary thing that parents allow their children to come. But we're pleased to be able to do that and hopefully be a blessing to the children and their parents. So we have many ways that we outreach here through the preaching, through tract distributing and so forth. But thank the Lord we do that. But also our church is strong in supporting missions around the world. We have been for many years. We want to continue that. And so we've upped our mission giving every week. Now last week, praise the Lord, I'm looking back, there was over $1,000 come in. So praise the Lord. Now, sometimes it's a little less, sometimes it's a little more, but thank you for your faithful giving. And so the message this morning is to be a challenge to us to keep on doing it, keep on going, but also maybe for someone who doesn't understand, sometimes coming from different churches or different backgrounds, you might not understand how we do things here in our church. So it's, like I say, the message is educational, but I think also hopefully inspirational. So I'm unashamedly give the message about giving today because it's a Bible message and we preach the Bible here. But it's also a message that could result in, because of you, getting someone around the world that you may have never seen and maybe never will see this side of heaven, but you will have a small part in getting them the gospel through various means that they could be saved and you'll see them in heaven. So it's a soul winning message. But also, I think it's a message that brings blessing. It brings blessing to our church. When we give through our faith promise giving, we not only get a blessing for our church, Because God will bless the church that goes after his heart, which is seeing people. So that's the whole reason Jesus came. We understand that. To seek and to save that which was lost. So if there's someone here today, you don't know you're going to heaven for sure, Jesus came to make a way for you that you could be saved and you could go to heaven. But then also it's a blessing to the individual or to the family, because I think God blesses those who give with a heart of love, by grace, by faith, to give to reach others. It's not something even for our local church. It's for others around the world. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So with all that said this morning, if you would like to look at your, I'll call it a study sheet. I don't know what to call a preaching sheet, PowerPoint on paper, however you want to call it. You can take a look there. But I'd like to look at three scriptures this morning. And we're going to read these in some length. So follow along, if you would, in your Bible this morning. We're going to do in 2 Corinthians. Our scriptures mainly will be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, chapter number 9, and a little teeny bit in chapter 10. Now, not everything in their entirety, of course. But I believe missions is a wise investment. If you see many commercials, you get things in the mail. Maybe it's because I'm getting old. Get all this stuff in the mail about investments. And you see it on TV, making investments. For the believer, we want to use our money wisely now. Nothing wrong with earthly investments. But we also realize there's a heavenly, eternal investment. And that is when we lay in store, Jesus said, not on earth, but up in heaven, that we get a blessing from it now, but one day we'll see the full reward that we'll get in heaven for the investment that we make while we're here on earth. And I think for you parents out here, it's a good thing to let your children know what you're doing in the matter of giving. And maybe you have your family devotion or however you might do that, but that they understand that, hey, you're giving to your local church, but you're also giving to get the gospel around the world. And they can see that, hey, that's important in your life. That when they grow up, that trust that they would make that important in their lives also. So let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, like I said, we're going to read a little longer scripture than what we normally do this morning. So do stay with us. But in chapter 8, down at verse 1, Paul is writing to this church and to us. And he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the liberality. Now he's talking about their giving. They were poor, but yet they gave liberally. And for you, that's the only good way to be a liberal. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, talking about Jesus voluntarily coming from heaven to live on this earth and then, of course, to die on the cross for all of our sins, that we were poor in spiritual matters but became rich in spiritual matters. In other words, we could be saved. No heaven is our home because Christ left the glories of heaven, came down to this earth. He said, herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye be burdened. In other words, we're all supposed to do something. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little hath no lack. And there he's referring back to the manna in the Old Testament. Now turn, if you will, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now look down in verse 6. Now I know we're reading a lot here, but trying to follow along. He says in verse 6 of chapter 9, but this I say, he which soweth thee sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And as it is written, he hath dispensed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministered seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now he's talking about your righteousness. Now we're righteous in Christ, but he's talking about heaven. He says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which caused through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And the pattern for our giving is what the pattern that God gave to us. God gave his best in Jesus Christ. God gave his best that would have our need and beyond our need met in salvation in Jesus Christ. There's our pattern for giving. God gave his best. Now lastly, look over in 2 Corinthians 10, just two verses here, down at verse 15. 10, verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. He said, what you're going to do in your giving is going to get the gospel out just beyond your local church, to the regions beyond you. Paul, when he went on his missionary journeys, needed help. He needed his supply. He needed money, just like we would if we travel. And churches helped him, and they would send. Now, it wasn't as simple in our day when we might send wire money or send a check or that type of thing, a bank draft or whatever. In that day, they had to send someone with the cash, which was somewhat of a dangerous thing. But Paul depended on that. And sometimes he would come around to a church and he would collect that they had saved up that year for their mission giving, and he would use that then to carry on. And then sometimes he would send someone else to get it when the church had received that offering. Now, the way we do it on a weekly basis. If you look down on your study sheet here, faith promise missions giving. It's by faith we make a commitment to God about giving to missions. It's a scriptural plan by which missionary giving is accomplished by individuals or families through their local church. Now, some people do this as an individual to a particular, their own missionary. Now, let me say, I don't favor that approach. And there's reasons for that. And that's if that's your business, if that's what you want to do. Here's my concern. Missionaries depend on missionary giving. And if something happens, maybe you lose your job or something happens, you retire, you can't continue doing that, then that missionary substantially suffers from your lack of what you give. But when a whole church gives, we can continue that mission giving, even say if someone retires or someone loses their job, because the whole church takes up the lack. Plus, when you give through the church, then the whole church gets a blessing. You will, because God knows what you gave. But it says here, this is done by weekly or monthly giving of a certain amount simply to missions above and beyond the tithe and other offerings that you may want to give. Faith promise mission giving is based upon faith. It's given first, like the tithe, to God, trusting God to meet one's personal needs. Now again, there's different ways of mission giving. There's churches that do it several times a year. There's churches that take a percentage of their offering. There's other ways. But over the years, we found this the most successful and also most biblical way of doing this is to do that in a weekly type basis or a monthly as you gather your income in. And we do it this way. You know, we give our tithe to the Lord, and then we say, well, Lord, I would like to do something to reach people around the world with the gospel. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, by faith now, by faith, I'm going to give a certain amount every week beyond my regular giving, simply and specifically to go to get the gospel around the world. Some people may start at $1. Some people may start at $5, $10, $20. I don't know what people give here, so I don't know. I don't know the amount you give. But the point is that you give that and you're making a promise to God. God, I'm already giving you my tithe, but I'm going to ask you to make sure that I have my needs met, even though I'm giving above and beyond that. That's by faith. And you make that promise to God. And you're promising God, okay, let's say it's $20. So you say, well, Lord, I give my tithe to the church to keep things going here, but I want to give to reach the gospel around the world. I want to make that investment. So let's say you give that $20 or $10 or $50, whatever it is. But you give that and you say, now, Lord, I'm going to do that every week. By faith, I'm going to do that. But I'm going to trust you to make sure that I don't have any lack, that I'm going to keep on going to meet the needs of my family, to meet my personal needs, keep the mortgage paid, keep the utilities paid. I'm going to trust you to do that. See, that's where the faith comes in, and that's where the promise. Now, you don't fill out something and turn it in. No one knows the promise you made to God. That's between you and God. Nobody's going to come up and say, did you give your missionary giving this week? Nobody's going to do that. Treasurer isn't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. That's between you and God. You see, you're not making a promise to the church. You're making a promise to God. And so it's between you and God. And if you carry that or don't, that's between you and God. But we find that people who take that challenge to step out by faith, to simply do that, God will meet your needs. And if he doesn't, that's between you and God. But we'll find that God will do that. He's done that for my family. He's done it for other people in the church. We can give testimonies about that. But I think you'll find it true, and it'll increase your faith. That's why we call it faith promise mission giving. So we give simply and specifically to missions for that. So we're trusting God to meet our personal needs. Now the question comes, what's the difference between a tithe and this missionary giving? And that's certainly a good question for people to ask. I found throughout the scriptures, we're not going to look at all those scriptures this morning, but God has given a principle of giving throughout the Bible. He's given a principle. It started way back in the beginning of the Bible when people gave 10%. They gave a tithe to the priest, or they gave a tithe to the temple. And that's specified in numerous places throughout the Old Testament. And then also in the New Testament, that principle is carried on. Some people say, well, that was just for the Old Testament. That was just for the Jewish people. No, the principle before Jewish people ever existed. The tithe is something that we do that God asks us to do. Now, why does God ask us to give back to him when he owns it all? Good question. He asks us to give back to him to show him that we know who owns it all. Now, that may seem contradictory. But we're saying, God, we know where all of our needs come from. The Bible says every good gift, everything comes from the Father up above. Now, you may be one. I've had people say, well, I'm the one working for it. Well, first off, God gave you the health to work for it. Secondly, God gave you a job to work for it. God also allowed you to be in a country that's fairly prosperous. Amen. God did all that for you that you could work, and it's good that we work. Amen. And so God says, now what you're doing by giving that tithe, that 10%, and it's a command, really. He says, I want you to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's your local church. That's where you attend. That's the keep. You see, if nobody gave anything, we wouldn't be able to meet here. We wouldn't have any lights on. We wouldn't have heat in here. Wouldn't have all that. Amen. But we give to carry on the work of the local church. It keeps fuel in the buses going up and down the roads. It keeps the nursery supplies. It keeps all that we have. Now, you understand that part. But then we go beyond the tithe and that command, that principle, into giving offerings. People get confused between a tithe and an offering. An offering is what God obligates us to show that he owns it all and that he's first place in our life. And then secondly, we give an offering that goes above that. Okay? So that's beyond the tithe. Now look what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, down at verse 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, by occasion of forwardness. He said, I'm not commanding you to give this faith offering. He says, but I'm going to be forward, Paul writes. He says, I'm going to tell you the way it should be. And he says, by commandment of the forwardness of the, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You see, the tithe is a offering and really a tithe that we give by command. God says, here's what I want you to give. But then an offering, faith promise or other offering that you might give to something else like the youth ministry or you might give it to somebody on TV or whatever. That's an offering that shows and proves your love for the Lord. And that's what he says here. He says to prove the sincerity of your love. You see, the faith promise mission is because you love the Lord, you love people, and you love to get the gospel around the world. And so it's a gift of love, and it's a gift of faith. You see, God's asked you to give more than what he originally said that we should give. Now, there's a biblical principle here, and the basis for this, I think, in these scriptures. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where we're at. Look down in verse 1. I want you to underline, circle, if you care to, maybe highlight, if you have a highlighter in your Bible, these things. There's the word, key word in faith promise giving in these passages of Scripture. The first one is the word grace. Grace. Look in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. Now, I think we understand what grace means. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve. We're saved by grace. Amen. We don't deserve to be saved. We're lost sinners. We disobeyed God. But praise God, God in his grace and his mercy sent Jesus down. He died on the cross for our sins. That by accepting that gift of grace, we can be saved and forgiven and have heaven our home. It's by the grace of God. We don't earn it. It's not something that we do by some religious deed of taking the communion or getting back. It's none of those things. It's by grace. We don't deserve it. But look on what he says. Jump down to verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So we see that. Then if you jump over to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9, down to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You see, faith promise giving is you're trusting the grace of God beyond salvation. You're by faith trusting that God is going to meet your needs beyond giving simply the tithe to the church. You're going to say, Lord, we run on a tight budget here. We run on that, but I want to do something. I want to do something beyond that, Lord. And here's what I'm going to go by faith, and I'm going to give $5, $2, $1, whatever it may be. But I'm going to start, and I'm going to give. And what you'll find is this. As that year goes by and your needs are met, and you're looking to God for His supply in the times when it gets low, and I want to tell you, there's times in my life it's been low. Times in my life, but praise God, I've always ate, always had a roof over my head, always ended up with the bills getting paid, and God will bring you through. And that's all part of the faith aspect of that. But you're saying, I'm going to trust the grace of God that you're going to do what you said you would do. And so it's a faith offering that we do. Look underneath of that, and key word one, it says we're saved by God's grace. We have what we have because of God's grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so are you, and so am I. We give from what we have through God's grace. So we give by because of God's grace to us, we want to show that grace to others. We give to others. They may not, as we say, deserve it, but God loves everybody in the world just as He loves you and I, friends. And so by grace. And the last thing, we trust God to supply our needs and any lack because of His grace. Now hold your spot in 2 Corinthians. We're going to turn back here quickly to Philippians. Philippians. And it's a familiar verse. Many of you will know it before I say it. Philippians 4:19. Now I shared this a little earlier in a message a while back. But in Philippians 4, down to verse 19, here it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's a promise there. But here's the question, who did He promise? If you read the verses up above that, it says that the church at Philippi gave faith offerings to Paul. And he says, but verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full. I am received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. He said, he received this faith promise giving offering from the church at Philippi. And then he responds and says this to that church. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, some churches want to keep everything that's given just for their church. And they'll build a beautiful, beautiful building and everything will be ornate. We keep things nice, but we keep things simple. Because we would rather have XX money put into a ministry that sees people saved, amen? Now, we want it nice, and we do. We keep our building. We keep our grounds up. We have nice facilities, wonderful facilities, but not compared to some who put all their money into the building or into this or the pastor's office. I've seen some beautiful pastor's office. Mine's my little hole in the wall back there. I'm only joking. I got a nice office. But you get the point. You can put money into a lot of things that really aren't the most important. We can do that in our lives too, can't we? But God says here, He'll supply the needs of the church who gives by faith to help preach the gospel around the world. Now let's look back to 2 Corinthians quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We're down to key word 2. First key word was grace. Second key word is this, willing. Willing. You see, you can know what you should do and what God speaks to your heart about, but you got to be willing to do it. Isn't that true? I mean, there's a lot of things I know I should do. I shouldn't even say this. There's a lot of things I should do around the house. And I'm always willing. Well, I'm back behind the pulpit now. So you can give truth. No, you got to be willing to do it, right? You got to be willing. And so he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 down to verse 3. He says, for to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were what? Willing of themselves, if you jump down to verse 5. He says at the end of that verse, the will of God. If you look over then in verse number 11, he says, now for therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will. He says, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. He says, you got to be willing. Knowing is one thing, willing is another. And then if you jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, down at verse number 7. He says, for every man according as he purpose in his heart. What's purpose in his heart? He's willing. He's willing to do it. You see, the word purpose there is the mean willing. You see, the problem with a lot of believers is simply this. They have a difficult time of giving because they've never totally given their lives and their will to the Lord. They want to be saved, and they're saved, but yet they've never surrendered their will. They've never surrendered their life. Lord, I'm going to trust you in everything. And so therefore they have a problem of giving out of what God's given them. And they hold on to it. Now I've read statistics about not just us now in our church, because I don't know who gives what, but across the nation in Christian, I'm going to say use the term Christian churches, that the average Christian gives 3%. That's it, total, 3%. Now I know our church does much better than that, I'm sure. But it goes to show you. But we as believers in Jesus Christ here and see that lost souls are going to hell at home and around the world, we want to do better than that. Amen. And so we give. And just like last week and other weeks, we see that evidence through the heart that you have to give to reach souls with the gospel. So we got to be willing. Then it says we must be willing to give ourselves and our will. Then we must be really willing to give God our material things or money. And that's what we're talking about this morning. But let's look down at the last thing down here in key word 3. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 down at verse 3. He says this. For to their power, and that's the word, power. Power is the word ability. It has the word of ability. What they have this. They, by their power, what they can do, it's their ability. He says, for to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. You see, to their power, that phrase means this. It means that they gave from what they had. They already did what they should do. They gave the tithe, but then they gave some, but maybe not at all. But they were okay. You know, it didn't really challenge them much. It really wasn't a step of faith. Okay, I did what God told me to do, and that's it. And some people struggle with that. But this is what you feel you can do. Well, yeah, I can give a dollar. Okay. You feel, well, a dollar, you know, that's not much. That's more than even a senior coffee at McDonald's. Now, most of y'all don't get senior coffees, I guess. You probably get those lattes and those foamy things and all that stuff, right? But that's kind of what we feel. We kind of get in a comfort area about giving, whether it's the tithe or less than the tithe or whatever, and we just feel good about that. But here it says this church, and if you look, it said they were in poverty and they were in great trial of affliction. They were persecuted. But he says they were not only willing for to their power, yet beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They were simply willing to give a faith offering. And that's what he's commending them for. He says they're giving beyond their power, beyond what they feel comfortable with, because they're going to put faith to work. Now, I don't preach about giving, you know, and try to browbeat people into giving. That's between you and the Lord. But I will tell you this, there is a blessing in being faithful in your giving. There is a blessing that you will get. The promise of God comes into effect in your life. And then when you even step out and go beyond the tithe and give into faith promise giving through our church here, there's a blessing for the church and a blessing, I think, for you. And again, I think we could bear that out. Now, we're going to look at one other scripture, and we're going to be done today. Look down in 1 Kings chapter 17. Because here's another Old Testament illustration of someone that was asked to give a faith offering. 1 Kings chapter 17 in the Old Testament. If you know the story of Elijah was having issues with the king, and he was in hiding from Jezebel. And it says in verse 8 of 1 Kings chapter 17, down at verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah, saying, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So God spoke to this lady's heart. Okay? He said, she knows you're coming. And, you know, you're supposed to live in her house. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Okay? And as she was going to fetch it, he also called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Well, the problem is she didn't really have any bread. Now, the water wasn't a problem, even though it was a famine. I guess you could get that still. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that's a small fire, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. The famine had taken over, and she didn't have any food. She's down to the last. This little cake's like a biscuit. She's going to go in there and make two biscuits. And she's going to cook those biscuits on those couple sticks. And that's all they got. Other people are dying of famine around them. They know that. They know the reality of that. People are dying around them. And they say, well, we're going to eat that. That's all we got left. I don't have any for you. You know, really, my first priority is taking care of my son and taking care of my own life. But, you know, you're just going to have to make do. And as the Lord thy God, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. I have two sticks that I may go and dress it. And then we're going to eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. First. It's not a matter of what you got left over. Make me the one first. Now that sounds pretty bold by him. You know, that almost self-serving, doesn't it? Wait a minute, you know. But he knew what God had said, and he knew the promises of God. He says, make me one first, and bring it unto me, and after that, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that thou sendest rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal, that's the grain, wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. What did she do? She had a decision to make. God had spoke to her and said, there's a guy coming, simply do what he asks you to do, and then he comes, and she's in this position of her and her son, or she's going to do what God says, and she made a choice and said, I'm going to simply believe what God says about supplying my need, and I'm going to give to you, Elijah, first. And she did. She went back to the barrel. Miraculously, there was more left. She looked at the oil. She had poured it all out, but amazingly, there was still some left. Didn't say the barrel got filled. Didn't say the oil got filled, but there was always enough for her to keep eating throughout that famine. Now, here's the second question of all that is this. Would that have happened if she wouldn't have went by faith? No. I've been saying for years two statements in our church. God always responds to faith. Now, God doesn't respond to a lot of things, but he always responds to faith. God responds to faith. You can search that Bible cover to cover, and you'll see that he always responds faith. If he says something, you obey it, you do it, praise God, God will come through. The second thing is this. Obedience to God always will bring a... God will always bless obedience. And so the faith promise mission giving is not by command. It's simply a promise that we give to the Lord simply by faith. We do it. We're motivated by love. We're motivated by our love for the Lord. It said the love of Christ constraineth us. We do it because there's lost souls all around the world. And your little bit that you could give every week or every month or how you and the Lord work that out, I tell you, can make a difference in someone's eternal destiny around the world. And not only one, it may be many. You think if you could support a missionary, you could support a national pastor around the world, praise God, they could continue to keep doing what they're doing or maybe start a church, whatever. But praise God, God will meet our needs and bless us. So the message that I gave this morning, first off, it's a biblical message. Second, it's a soul-saving message. Thirdly, it's a blessing for our church. And fourthly, it'll be a blessing to you. It's a commitment, a decision, however you want to call it, between you and the Lord. Don't come and tell me what you decided. Don't put it on a piece of paper and give it to the treasurer. You don't have to tell, yeah, I mean, you can tell whoever you want, but don't, that's not necessary. It's between you and the Lord. And God will bless you if you simply step out by faith. Our goal this year is $835 as an average each week. That's a little bit more than last year. But I think there's folks here that we could maybe do a little bit more than we did. And maybe someone saying, you know, I never did it, but I'm going to start. And simply step out by faith and see if God will keep his promise. And I think you'll find he will. Let's stand, if you would, across the auditorium. Let's bow our heads right where we're at this morning. Now, I preach about giving, and I do that once a year, once every other year. But maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, his grace, he came down and said he left his riches of heaven to come down to earth to die for you. And you're here and you say, you know, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. You know, God loves you so much. Jesus willingly went to that cross and he died and suffered your hell in your place. That if you'll receive Christ, you can be saved. I encourage you to do that today. By accepting Christ, you can come. We'll never embarrass anyone. And we'll be glad to pray with you, help you. Maybe you're here today and you have other needs on your heart. You say, oh, I do all that, preacher, that you said. But, you know, life can get complicated, can't it? And you say, I just want to come and pray for some needs. Maybe praying for someone else. Certainly we have people in our church that we need to be praying for. Maybe it's just something else that God put upon your heart. Maybe you'd like to come and make that commitment to faith promise this morning at the altar. Good way of doing it. But you do what God says. That's the important thing. Do what God says. With our heads bowed and our eyes.